Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, we had a mini revelation during the break, and it's thanks to the last caller. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. Myra Metcalf, Jason fits in for the guys, and we've been letting you chime in. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes. Should the NBA shut down everything that's not just the NBA? Stop participating in these pro-am events? Myron and I disagreed on it this morning. So far, every caller has disagreed. But the last caller, Myron, pointed out that it's about, you know, history and it's about tradition. And as I said, going to break, I don't give a damn about tradition. But we had a revelation. I think that's in part how I grew up, right? Because I moved around all over the country as a kid. My dad, a huge Raiders fan. So obviously the Raiders, a team seeped in tradition. But even there, I don't really care. Like the Super Bowls my dad watched doesn't impact me. It doesn't change my Sunday this Sunday. But I didn't grow up in an area with sports fans that were so locked into certain traditions that it was part of it. I think that's a cultural difference for me and the way I see some of the traditions that are part of the way other people might view. Like if you grew up in New York, you see the tradition of NBA certainly different than a kid that grew up in, you know, Vegas and, you know, Maine and D.C.
Yeah, and I think actually tradition is the wrong word. Culture is a better word. And I think a lot of guys in the NBA kind of believe in a particular culture where they get together in the offseason, man, and they play in these events. And a big part of this is we saw the Chet injury. Like, we saw this pro-am. Trust me, there are dozens and dozens of other pickup runs around the country where you see NBA players. There's just no video of it. So these guys are going to do this no matter what people say. It's just unfortunate what happened to Chet, man.
Well, speaking of injuries, we saw yesterday, and we'll get back to your calls on Chet in just a few minutes, but big news out of the NFL yesterday, another blow for the Cowboys. And, you know, it's always Mike Golic Jr., my buddy, the former offensive lineman. Whenever I got a big group thread with Mike and some buddies, and whenever there's a video of an offensive lineman that seems to be hurt, you can tell from Mike's guttural response what that means for most offensive linemen. Yesterday, tough day for anybody that loves O-line is Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith's hamstring. This is according to Adam Schefter. Tore and came off the bone, per sources. Could have a surgery as early today, pending a meeting with doctors. He is out indefinitely, unlikely to return before December. In an NFC East that there are certainly question marks about the Giants, we're not sure what the quarterback position looks like for the Washington Commanders. It really looks like a two-team race. And now you have a Philadelphia team that this offseason, Myron, really improved themselves, taking on a Cowboys team that hits another big setback before the season starts.
Yeah, and at a position that you just can't replace. I mean, someone who's going to solidify that offensive line, which obviously is going to affect what Dak is able to do. I think what you hope to see if you're a Cowboys fan in this next phase of Dak Prescott's career is you don't want him taking as many risks as he did as a younger player, right? That's kind of how you evolve, and that's how you last in the NFL. But if you're telling me that there are holes in that offensive line, that's only going to make him more vulnerable. And I think if the idea is that offense is going to kind of power what they do, and I know what they are defensively, I think you're really concerned about their potential. And the discipline problems they've had, so many penalties, you're asking Mike McCarthy to kind of overcome what they don't have, and I don't think he's that kind of coach.
Especially when you talk about penalties on the offensive line. Like when we see holding, or particularly, or false start, a lot of times the presumption is just that the guy that committed the penalty is an idiot. That's what we all say when we're yelling at our you know, TVs. But realistically, there's a lot of false starts that come from trying to get a jump on an edge rusher that's getting around you. There's a lot of holding that comes because your hands or your feet are in a bad position and you can't get to the guy and you're just trying to prevent your quarterback from getting murdered. So when you start thinking about that level and now not having the tackle that you trust so much, on a team that is plagued by these issues, it becomes far more difficult. And there are more questions than answers right now for a Cowboys team that, you know, has Super Bowl expectations. I feel like the pendulum is turning, and maybe we're overhyping some of this, but my God, A.J. Brown is not just a difference maker. He's one of the elite difference makers, in my opinion, in the NFL. So A.J. Brown being added to the weapons, and then I keep thinking about just Jordan Davis on the other side of the ball from Georgia. There are so many good additions to this Eagles team. I think the Eagles are the clear-cut favorite at this point in the NFC East to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people are calling them a sleeper, maybe to make a run in the playoffs. You know, it looks like they're going to be at the top of this division. To your point, Jalen Hurts did a lot of great things last year, but you had an A.J. Brown, and that just changes the whole dynamic of that offense. I think they're going to be a lot better. You got a guy who they went big on A.J. Brown. They're going for it now. And I think Jalen Hurts knows he's got to prove that he's a franchise quarterback. So those stakes are only going to enhance the pressure, but I also think they'll meet those expectations in Philly, whereas Dallas is in a position where it's always difficult to reach the ceiling. And now I don't know if that ceiling is going to change for a lot of people who think they can make up for what they've lost in Tyron Smith's injury. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you're a Giants fan, you're looking around, or a Washington Commanders fan, I always see Washington Commanders like I'm still practicing getting used to the Commanders thing. Yeah. So if you're a Commanders fan or a Giants fan, you got to look around and say, at least, so you're telling me there's a chance, like any crack in the armor of the Cowboys makes you feel a little bit better about what you've got going on this season. And certainly we've been so caught up with everything else happening around Washington that it's easy to forget that there's actually a dynamic football team there in some ways. A defense, they can absolutely get after the quarterback. We all know that, although Chase Young out the first at least 4 weeks on the PUP list. Terry McLaurin and that wide receiver crew, they can absolutely get after it as well. Can Carson Wentz be anything? And I just don't know the answer. Like, I don't think so. A proof of concept seems to say no on that. But if you're Washington, you're the Giants, you're thinking, well, Brian Daboll comes over and look what he was able to do, you know, with Buffalo. What can he do now with this offense? So, like, you've at least got a little bit better feeling about both of those teams, knowing that a lessened version of the Cowboys makes for an easier path for you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Cowboys are in this division where people usually assume that they've got an easy five wins, right? But I think it's going to be more difficult this year, and I think Mike McCarthy's going to have to be a better coach than he was last year, and that's asking a lot of him.
It's interesting, too, Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitzsimmons for the guys. We're on this interesting trajectory, let's say that way, in the NFC, where you can find a yeah, but for almost every team that's supposed to be good. Like the Packers, yeah, but their wide receivers are dropping so many balls that Aaron Rodgers is calling them out in practice. The Vikings, yeah, but you know Kirk Cousins never really wins anything, right?
And not after sundown.
Right? You've got a yeah, but for the Cowboys, it's like, well, yeah, we have no idea what the wide receiver situation looks like, and now there's offensive line issues. Yeah, but Jalen Hurts might not be a great quarterback. Yeah, but Tampa Bay's offensive line and all of their weapons might be hurt. Yeah, but there are quarterback elbow issues for the Rams. Yeah, but we don't know who Trey Lance is. Like, I feel like even the teams we are desperate to separate themselves in the NFC all seem to have a fatal flaw. Like, they're all, you know, they're all pretty at night, but maybe not the next day at this point. Like, I don't think any of them are necessarily marriage material.
Yeah, and that's why the NFL preseason is so fascinating, right? Every single fan of every team in the league right now has found a way to get their team to the Super Bowl. I mean, even the Texans, like Davis Mills is going to figure it out. There's a Texans fan right now who's found a way to get the Texans into the playoffs. But those same fans also have a path to their team not making the playoffs at all, finishing at the bottom of the standings. So it's just, it's an interesting time. It's only going to take a couple of weeks to sort a lot of this out. But the highs and lows are fun in the preseason.
I always feel like every offseason is the same in the NFL. Every offseason is like when you get out of a really bad relationship. Like, you are out of the worst relationship in your life. Your friends hate the person you're dating. They cannot stand her. And you broke up with her in January, right? You broke up with her in January because you finally realized that she was crazy and it wasn't worth the heartbreak. That's where most of us were. And you have a very real idea at that point of what your relationship was, what your favorite football team is. Then a little bit of time goes by and all of a sudden you hit free agency. One or two things happens. That's like you seeing something on Instagram and you're like, oh, man, I do miss her smile. And then all of a sudden the draft happens. You're like, well, you know what? She was just so kind with animals. Like, you've made that. And then you get to training camp, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, maybe I've overblown the negative. We are right at that spot now where you are back with that girl, and all of your friends are like, no, I can't go through this for another 6 months. Yeah. And we're all going to get back in that relationship. And 99% of the time, if she was crazy before, she's going to be crazy again, Myron. Like, she's still crazy.
Hey, man, it's what your boy Devontae Adams has gone through. Like, 1 minute, Derek Carr's the greatest quarterback he's ever played. And he's like, you know what? Aaron Rodgers, though, he was special. He's just going back and forth, man, trying to figure out which one he likes more.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's different for me, though. Like, my girl's really changed. Like, the Raiders have turned a corner. Like, she's in a – like, we took a break. We didn't break up at the end of the season. We took a break. Yeah. Everything was good. But, you know, her schedule, my schedule didn't really work out. So, we just pressed pause on the relationship. That's I'm just like you guys. That's what this has all come down to. By the way, Jerry Jones is just like us. Even though he owns a team and is nothing like us, he is like us in the sense that, at his core, he's a fan. So, he was asked about the health of Dak, and he made some – curious comments, not just about Dak, but about who really steers the ship for the Cowboys.
There is no question he was limited. Nobody wanted to say that, but he was very limited. He's in the best shape he's ever been in. Now, it is still a fact. We go as Zeke goes. I know it's a lot on Dak's shoulders, but we go as Zeke goes. He's very capable of being everything we've ever wanted to be. The wild card, though, is the guy that's playing beside him, Pollard.
That's right.
And so we put Pollard in some plans that with Zeke, for the defenses to have to work against midweek and be ready to play, then you've got Pollard. We really like where we are at running back, but it all starts and stops with Zeke.
You can't tell me Jerry Jones doesn't sound like the slightly drunk guy that's in the bar that's a fan of his team that's justifying why they're about to win a bunch of games based on a blog he read. You can't tell me that's not what it sounds like.
It sounds just like it. Also, was that interview from 1993? Because who talks about running backs other than Jerry Jones? Like, that's the only dude in the league who talks like that.
Yeah, he's got it all figured out. Maybe he's smarter than the rest of us, but that's not the only big question going into the last week of the preseason. We got some comments from one head coach about his often talked about and very embattled quarterback. You'll hear him next, but Myron first has to tell you about Body Armor.
This football season, Body Armor is the choice for hard work and hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you at the top of your game. With potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, it dies. Buy any one Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink. More than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
I'm telling you, there's like a piece in the way Myron Metcalf reads. Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz. Like, I'm the first to admit that there are times that maybe I've had one too many Flintstone vitamins at the end of the night, and I'm not thinking the most clear in the moment. Yeah. And then I go out there and I shop for random things. Like, I'm the worst about, you know, like, I think Amazon should make me take like a 40 question quiz before I'm allowed to buy anything to decide what my level of comprehension is in the moment. And then just be like, send them a messenger that says, not today, fat Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, you know, but the way you read sometimes, it does it like, I don't know, ShamWow? Like, you've got this, like, you know, we'll take away one payment of only $19.95.
Well, that's the good thing about today is, like, you know, I used to watch those infomercials, man. I always loved that guy. But the problem was you'd wake up and you bought 19 CDs of the greatest hits of 1973 and 19 easy payments of $4.99 or whatever it was. So now, at least with Amazon, you buy one item maybe.
Oh.
But back then, it was like you were making a commitment for the next 3 months if you purchased some of that stuff.
Those Time Life series.
Oh, man,
every time. Like, it doesn't matter, like, the number of times I years ago, I would just wake up and be like, well, apparently last month I decided I like doo-wop because this is Time Life doo-wop. And then the next time it'd be like Time Life, the entire Jackson collection. And it's like, what am I doing?
I was a hip-hop fan, and all of a sudden, 1 a.m., that Dolly Parton best hits commercial, I'm like, listen, when is she touring? Because I need to be there. You know, that's how it was. Like all of a sudden, that's what it did to you, man.
I'm going to give you the most random Dolly Parton humble brag story in history. Okay. But I was sitting backstage at the Country Music Awards, CMA Awards, back when they were at the Grand Ole Opry. And I grew up with one of the guys in NSYNC, and they were playing that year. They were playing a song with Alabama. And so we were sitting backstage, and we were catching up. We hadn't seen each other for a while. So we're sitting on this little couch that's in the green room in the Grand Ole Opry house over by Opryland Hotel. And Dolly walks by. And my buddy, I mean, NSYNC at the time was like the biggest thing in the world, right? Damn. My buddy just mid-thought stops, jaw drops. Like he's staring at Dolly as she walks by. She gets to the door. She turns around and she says, "That's right, boys. They're real." That's all she said. And then she walked out. I mean, my level of Dolly respect went through the roof right there. Like, I already loved her, but then I adored her after that. Myra Metcalf, Jason Fitz. Oh, that's a level of self-awareness that has. And that's a level of self-awareness that I think at this point we've learned Tua Tagovailoa has, right? Like, we all know that Tua is constantly going to be talked about when it comes to the quarterback position. And, you know, Mike McDaniel, who might be the like just the weirdest coach in the NFL to put your head around. Like he looks like he came straight out of like the science lab and he stayed late, but then he's like super into, you know, hip hop and like all of these things you wouldn't expect. But Mike, he's so far, he's a delight with the press. And he talked a little bit about Tua and the burden that he faces, not just because he's a quarterback, but because of where he was selected.
He didn't choose to be picked sixth in the first round. He was picked sixth, but that is a burden with pressure. And he is playing the quarterback position with intent, purpose, a deliberate nature, with conviction. And I couldn't be happier with where he's at. You're watching a guy become a professional right in front of your eyes.
I mean, I love everything he's saying, and it's very true, but fans aren't going to buy any of that.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying what you're supposed to say. Like, what else do you say about your starting quarterback going into the seat? Like, you've got to give him that level of confidence. I guess he's becoming a professional right before our very eyes. This ain't a rookie. I mean, this guy played at Alabama, has had some time in the NFL. But I think the reality is he can't take any pressure off Tua. Like, you're in that big spotlight. You've got to prove you're a franchise guy. You don't have this extension. Can you do the job or not is the bottom line with him.
I'll never forget before the NFL draft in Vegas, we were doing some features for our digital draft show that we do every year. And one of the features I pitched and we ended up getting to do was I got a tattoo with Max Crosby. So we sat down in Vegas at a tattoo shop and we got inked together and we sat there for 4 hours. And my goal was to get, you know, real Max, right? Like, you know, just take the layers away. And at one point I asked him about where he was drafted, because Cleve Furl for the Raiders was a first round draft pick the same year that Max Crosby was a fifth round draft pick, right? So, you know, I asked about the expectations that come, and it was staggering to me because in a very honest moment, Max looked over without hesitation and said, "No one ever forgets the round that's next to your name." And I think that's interesting because he just got paid and he just got to the point that, like, you know, everything's free for him at this point. Like, he's got to the point where he doesn't have to worry about generations of life. He doesn't have to worry about playing. But even he was honest that nobody ever forgets the number that's next to your name. And I think about that with Tua Tagovailoa, because it is a great concept to think that the quarterback could just be judged for the quarterback. But every fan, every media person, like, when he is, if he's successful, it's going to be a draft pick that worked out. If he is not, every time he's traded somewhere, every time he plays somewhere else, it's going to be former sixth overall pick Tua Tagovailoa. And frankly, Coach McDaniel is absolutely correct. Tua chose none of that, but you don't get to choose your variables in every situation. You still have to deal with the reality that comes with them.
Yeah, you don't get to choose your variables. And obviously a guy's placed in a position where teams think he deserves to be picked that high, and he is. At the same time, it can't go both ways. Like, you can't tell me this is a top six pick and a guy living up to the hype when he's doing well. And then when there are questions about him, you tell me, well, wait a minute. He had nothing to do with where he was selected. Hold on. He did have a lot to do with where he was selected. He came out of Alabama, won a national championship. People thought he was one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. You don't get to just remove that all of a sudden because Tua Tagovailoa is struggling. You don't get to just get rid of that all of a sudden because you don't want him to face the pressure. And I think that's where Mike McDaniel might be making a mistake. Let your guy go out there and prove that he can do it one way or the other. You're not going to stop the buzz about him and where he was picked. He was picked up to that position because people thought he could do it at that level. And if he can't do it, he's going to have to deal with that.
It makes me wonder, Myron, though, if this could be the best thing that ever happened for Tua, not just because it's a new coach, but because sometimes what you need is just a new set of eyeballs on everything. There's a different level of pressure when you drafted a guy sixth overall and that's the organization that has chosen to go with you. Now that has to work. When a new regime walks in, they can just let you be you and you can earn the job for who you are. And I don't know if it's that simple, but, you know, at least in my mind, it seems like it gives maybe Tua a chance to sort of prove all the naysayers wrong. That being said, Tua obviously was asked about how this team is different this year. And frankly, we know the answer. It's Tyreek Hill. But this is what he had to say about that.
The confidence that the guys have coming out to practice is different. The confidence that the guys have coming into the building is different. You know, the way we do things around the building is different. Just everything. I can't necessarily point to one thing. Obviously, our head coach, who is probably one of the most optimistic people I've ever been around. And I would say just those guys and kind of the leadership that Mike displays for everyone to see, that I think that's what gives the entirety of the team confidence.
J-Dub, by the way, points out to me on Twitter, Tua was the fifth pick. I was just going off what Coach said. I thought he said six. But look, I think you hear that from Tua, but this is the analogy I use with everybody I've ever worked with. I don't know if I've told you this, Myron. People on air probably heard this. Have you ever gone to a psychic?
No.
Okay, right. You never go to a psychic because they just tell you what you want to hear, right? Yeah. The first time I go to a psychic, I'm going to take my most dumpster fire friend, the person that has absolutely nothing going for them in their life. I'm going to send that person into the room first, close the door. If he comes out 20 minutes later in tears saying, my life is over, I'm going to die alone, my family never loved me, I have nothing, that's a psychic I'll see for the rest of my life because that's an honest psychic, right? Okay. The next time a quarterback comes out and says, man, how's it different? I don't know. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. We have no idea how this offense runs. I'm lost, y'all. Like, I am lost every single day. I'm just showing up, barely hanging on for dear life. That is a quarterback. I'll buy his jersey. I'll buy his sneakers. I'll buy his headband. I'll get a tattoo of his face on my back like a tramp stamp. Like, that is a quarterback I will believe for the rest of my life. So Tua's saying all the right things. But maybe to your point, this is coach and quarterback on the same page trying to avoid all of it by simply saying the right thing.
Speak positively, man. I mean, that's the way it goes in the NFL. What do you think Jacksonville really wanted to say last year under Urban Meyer, right? If we would have had the raw conversation. But I think Tua's saying, yeah, I mean, hey, things look better. I feel more confident. But again, let's revisit this week 3, week 4. I just don't get the new narrative about Tua where suddenly it's like, hey, everybody go easy on him, right? He's just trying to play quarterback in the NFL. He's in the NFL, everybody. The guy's done this at a high level at Alabama. Like, the expectations were valid. So let's not get away from that. He may not live up to him, but it was okay to expect him to be a guy who lived up to where he was drafted.
Yeah, nobody's sitting here apologizing for Zach Wilson because of his transition from BYU. Like, ain't nobody making those apologies. In the meantime, I'm not apologizing for my takes on Chet Holmgren. You guys are fired up about it. I can't believe so many of you are so wrong, but we'll let you continue to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should the NBA just shut down all activities that aren't NBA-related? I think so. You disagree. You guys can take over the show next on Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
I think it's time for the NBA to say bye-bye to all of these other events and focus just on themselves. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This is all coming on the heels of the fact that Chet Holmgren, the number two overall pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder, has now been lost for the year after injuring himself in a pro-am that we all saw in a play against LeBron that I want to be very clear out of the outset. Myron and I both agree it was a very clean play. I also want to be very clear from the outset that while the game was shut down in the second half because of condensation on the court, both the team, the player, and the player's representatives have all said, all three have said that they believe the court had no impact on this injury. So I want to take those things into consideration as everybody calls in. We are squarely against each other. Myron believes this is just the way life goes. I believe I don't care about where Julius Erving played anything. I think at some point you got to shut all this stuff down. If I own a team, I only want you playing on things that my money's invested in because that's part of what my money pays for. There's risk in that that I get, but I don't want you playing in other things. PJ in Vegas, a city that I was born and raised in, the city I love. PJ, thanks for calling the show. What you got, man?
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call.
Of course.
I agree with both of you. One of you guys are looking at it from a business standpoint as a capitalist. You want to protect your investment. I understand that. But at the same time, scared money doesn't make any money. If you don't invest and believe in your investment, you might end up still losing your capital anyway. But at the same time, playing basketball myself and being from D.C., when you jump in the air, you don't know where you're going to come down at, and there's still a chance that you can still get hurt. So both sides, and just in my opinion, both of you guys are right.
Oh, I like that answer, Byron. Yeah. Thanks for the call, BJ.
I think I'm more right. That's all. I'm more right. I mean, maybe we're both, but I think I'm more right.
A little bit. Look, I think BJ has said it very plain. Like, I'm the first to admit, y'all, I am ever the capitalist when it comes to this stuff. And I don't disagree. Scared money, we don't make money. Like, everything I have, like, to be for anyone that doesn't know, I grew up with nothing. So what I have in my life, I have bootstrapped up and I've made it. Like, everything I did in music, everything I've done here, I'm proud of the fact that scared money don't make money, and I've invested in myself every single possible portion of the way. I also know that if it was my company and my business and you worked for me and you hurt yourself and couldn't perform your duties that I'm paying you $10 million for because you were over here, I don't give a damn what your reason was. I want my money back. Like, that's just easy for me. But again, Myron sees it from a love of the sport and understanding of the human element of playing basketball. Maybe I'm just too business oriented. Mo in Ohio. Mo, what you got? Thanks for calling the show, man.
Oh, thanks, guys. Fitz, first, I want to say that I'm a huge fan, and it was one of your deep thought rants one night on Spain and Fitz that inspired me to write a children's book about don't talk about what you want to do, just go out there and do it, and then talk about what you're doing. And so I appreciate that from you.
That means a lot, man. Thank you.
That's huge.
That means a lot, Mo. Thank you very much.
No problem, bro. I'm kind of with you. I would say, what about when the young guys come into the league, especially like I spring my ankle, like you're going up against LeBron James. I know the risk of you trying to get a poster shot guarding him, but dude, you're going to like break something, dude. You're going up against the GOAT. Maybe these young guys should sit the first year and get their body, health, mind, soul right being in the NBA the first year before they can go on and take part in all these things that are traditional and that deserve the respect.
Thanks for the call, Mo.
I respect it, but like people are trying to time injuries. Like ideally, if people were like, okay, they knew someone was going to get injured, they would want it to happen after that team wins an NBA title or something, the last game of the year. Like that's not how injuries happen, man. Like at the end of the day, this could happen at any time. And, you know, people are talking about the play itself and how Chet goes up and challenges LeBron. Let me tell you an easy way to get hurt, Fitz. Not playing hard, like messing around on the court and not really going 100%. Guys get hurt like that all the time. So I just don't think it's about effort. I don't think it's about the event. It's the reality that guys get better and they play each other. Michael Jordan, when he made Space Jam, he was concerned about whether or not the production was going to get in the way of him improving, right? So he went out and got like the best players in the NBA, and they all flew out to the set, and they had these crazy legendary pickup games. And you can ask people about it. Like, these guys are never going to stop doing that kind of stuff, whether the NBA likes it or not.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if the NFL can figure out ways to create tackling dummies, can we not figure out ways to create dribbling dummies that you have to work around? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but I am smart enough to know too many of you want to hold on to cut anybody off. So we'll continue to take more of your calls. Plus, someone's going to have to back up some things they said a few months ago. We'll tell you about it next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz, in for the guys.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz in for the guys. Knicks fans might be up in their feels on this. Ian Begley, SNY, reports that some Knicks decision makers are open to including R.J. Barrett in a trade for Donovan Mitchell. You feeling good about that, Myron?
No, don't do that.
Why?
Don't do that. R.J. Barrett, I think his ceiling is high. Just turned 22 years old, still a really, really young guy, and I'm just partial to RJ. I think he'll continue to get better. I asked his dad one time, I said, what's RJ Barrett's greatest quality, right, as he was coming up? He said winning, right? And I think that's just kind of how he's wired. I think he's going to make the Knicks a better team, and I think by year five, he'll be the kind of guy you can build a team around. I wouldn't give up R.J. Barrett for Donovan Mitchell.
Can you make barbecue in the NBA anymore? Because R.J. Barrett, to me, in your argument, is a little like slow and low, right? Like, you gotta take your time with it, let it simmer. It's going to be good eventually. Donovan Mitchell, today makes you a better basketball team than
what
R.J.
What does he want?
Barrett.
Yeah, what does he want, though? What does he want?
Winning is not an individual concept, no matter what. I mean, like, Ja Morant hasn't won a championship either, but if he was available to the Knicks, they'd taken him. I mean, we all know the answer to that. Like, I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell is necessarily Ja, but, like, Donovan Mitchell is a star player that is, I mean, if we were playing NBA Jams and you had the choice of your teammate being R.J. Mitchell or R.J. Barrett or Donovan Mitchell, who you taking?
I'm picking Donovan Mitchell. I didn't ask that question to knock Donovan Mitchell. I think he's a great player, and I think the Knicks should make a move for him. I guess my point is that he still has a lot left to prove. And one of his biggest challenges in Utah was he needed another scorer. Like, that's kind of what he was missing there when they get into these situations in the playoffs and they would get upset, right? I think R.J. Barrett can be that guy. And an ideal situation is Donovan Mitchell's your best player. R.J. Barrett emerges as your second best player. And I think there's a future where that could happen, and I just wouldn't give up that possibility.
Can you? But what if you have to give up the second best player to get the first? Because I'm with you. I think in a perfect world, Donovan Mitchell, R.J. Barrett playing together, I think could be really fun for Knicks fans, and that could build into something. Then you've got sort of the best of both worlds, because you're giving me something I can have right now in Donovan Mitchell, who's still young enough that while I'm watching R.J. Barrett develop into who he can be, I think that's sort of a best of both worlds. I just don't know if you have to give up R.J. Barrett for Donovan Mitchell. I think it has to be worth it, because if you're the Knicks, you got to find something. Like, you're nowhere near competitive in the East.
Yeah, you know, I understand the appeal of Donovan Mitchell. Make the trade. 11-12. I just think you should keep R.J. Barrett off.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to be interesting, is to figure out how they play forward on all those. What it really tells us is that the R.J. Mitchell conversation is still alive and well, right? Or the Donovan Mitchell conversation is alive and well. That's what we really hear out of it. We'll see how Knicks fans feel about it moving forward, obviously. We've got more basketball news to get you now. Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I don't know. I just felt like I had to give you my sultry voice.
I like it.
Did you feel good about that, Myron? Myron Metcalf, Jason Fitz. Was that moving the needle?
I loved it, man.
Got to work on it. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. It's ironic in that voice. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance at progressive.com. Speaking of quotes, sometimes things are put in quotes. Things are audio is out there for the world to hear. And that audio comes in the form of Pat Beverly. Back in May, with Stephen A. Smith when Pat Beverly said this to our favorite.
If I was a free agent and I played for the Lakers, I'm going to the playoffs, I'm going to the Western Conference Finals.
So you believe if you were a member of the Lakers, they'd go to the Western Conference Finals? As presently constructed, or with the team as presently constructed, or would somebody have to go?
No, nobody goes. Exact same team. Western Conference Finals. Because they have no one that's who's in no discredit to LeBron James. But he's doing so much. Who's the leader? They had success because there was a leader there. Rondo was there. At the time, he was the leader. Who's the leader? Who's telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you got to be low man, bro. That ain't your help out. You got to X out. No one's telling them that. Not on a consistent basis.
Right. And Patrick Beverly's going to tell them that?
I'm going to tell everyone that.
Okay.
Because I want to win. Because it's not about me scoring 20. It's not about me having 15 dimes. I want to win. I want to beat everyone I play.
I mean, I love the concept of it. We really buying it?
No, nobody's buying it. I don't know if Pat Beverly's buying it. I mean, you know who Pat Bev is sometimes? Like, you're in the music industry. It's the guy who had a hit in, like, 93, and he says he was the biggest thing ever in music. Like, you should have seen me. And you go back, and you're like, wait a minute, man. You weren't as big as you say. Like, that's how Pat Bev talks. You're not going to the Lakers with LeBron and Westbrook and Anthony Davis and suddenly becoming the leader. Like, that wasn't their challenge. They got to be healthy. They got to figure out how to implement Russell Westbrook. I do think Beverly helps them defensively. I saw what he did with the Timberwolves. But he's not going to come in and change the culture of that team. I think that's a bit far-fetched, how he presented his role in all this.
I think you're 1,000% right. And somebody yesterday, I haven't fact-checked this, so I can't find it right now, but somebody yesterday posted a picture of an old Russell Westbrook quote saying, you know, Pat Beverly's convinced the whole league he plays defense when he just runs around and does nothing. I don't know if that was actually said.
That's Westbrook. Yeah.
No, but, you know, I think there's a point here where it speaks to the amount of gelling that has to happen. Like, the concept of I'm going to come into any room and be alpha male is really, or alpha female, whatever, I'm going to be alpha. I think that's really difficult to do, and it's easy to talk about from the outside looking in, but to come into a room and actually get people to work together. I don't care if we're talking about at a car manufacturer, on a radio show, a widget company, like getting everybody on the same page takes an ability to read the room and sort of feel it out and understand how everybody can find their roles. Pat Beverly does not ever speak to read the room for me.
No. And again, he says a lot of this in interviews. He says a lot of this stuff via Twitter. He's not going to say any of this stuff to LeBron James. And if he does, it's just not going to work out because LeBron will tune him out. I mean, at the end of the day, LeBron is holding on because he wants to win more championships and hopefully play with his son, Bronny James. He's not going to let Patrick Beverly get in the way of that. But again, I think Patrick Beverly, with the right attitude, can help. He helped the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was an addition to that team. But he wasn't the star that he made himself out to be. And I think we'll see the same thing here in L.A.
Yeah, and by the way, that all that now we're doing is putting another great story and a great reason to pay attention to the Lakers other than winning games. Like, I mean, this move will not put the Lakers, in my mind, above, you know, any conversation of some of the others, right? Like, it doesn't put them at the top of the West.
No, not at all. Like I said, you got to treat Pat Beverly like that uncle who tells you about how he was in the 70s. You know, he had like the red Cadillac. Everybody loved him. He walked into the club and the whole room stopped. That's who Patrick Beverly is, right? Always exaggerating, embellishing who he is, who he was to the teams he's played on. He's a good player. He's not a player who's going to turn the Lakers into a champion. They should already be a champion right now if they figure out how to use Westbrook. But it's going to be interesting to see.
Any blowback on the fact that the Lakers before, according to reports, were unwilling to trade Horton Tucker for Kyle Lowry, and now it feels like they're ready to just let him walk for Patrick Beverly? Like, that doesn't feel like an upgrade to me.
Yeah, I just think the Taylor Horton Tucker stuff is like, okay, LeBron liked him, right? But was he ever going to evolve into a guy? Like, how many years are we going to wait? And I loved him in high school, in college, but like, how many years are you going to wait for him to go from a project to a guy who can really help you consistently on the court? Like, at the end of the day, he just never reached that point. So you bring in a veteran who can help you right now. That's what that's all about.
I just love the way you term that. Like, LeBron liked him. It's like, he's the guy. Every time he's in the room, it's like, oh, that he's just – they're buddies. That's the way. Everybody's just like, they shrug their shoulders. They're buddies. I'm buddies with Scott in Colorado. I said earlier, if you agree with me, you're getting through. Apparently, we finally have a caller who doesn't think I've lost my mind. Scott in Colorado. Chime in for me, brother.
Yes, I think you're a genius, Fitz. I think you nailed it when you said that it ought to be shifted to the players taking the risk. And if they get hurt outside of the season, then it hits their pocketbook. They get paid after each game, if I'm right on that, I think, or at least only get paid during the season. So if they're outside of the season, let them take the risk and give back some control to the owners that are taking all the risk.
Yeah, that's the call of the day right there. Scott, thanks for hanging out with us. I appreciate it. Myron, the only thing I would say, like, and this is just me being that kid. Like, this is me being that troll that everybody, you know, just rolls their eyes at. But if we're going to sit here and talk about how much the tradition of playing in some of these things matters and how much the culture of it is and how important that culture is, do you think that Chet Holmgren, if he had to risk his own $10 million this year, would have still been playing in that event?
It'd be a different story. I mean, here's why I say you're correct, I think. Every single NBA team has called every single player on their roster today and said, that's it. Now, they may not listen. I don't know the legalities, the contractual elements of that, but I guarantee every team executive has made that call and said, we're staying out of the pro-ams. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's the wrong call. The pro-am didn't injure Chet, but you're going to see more and more of that. In terms of making it, you know, more financially damaging to these guys if they get hurt, I don't think that's fair, because the guy got hurt trying to get better in an event that was sanctioned by the NBA. He wasn't playing in an alley with Rufus and them. Like, the dude was playing in a tournament that a lot of people play in the offseason. So don't shut it all down just because of this unfortunate moment, man.
I do think you're right, though, Myron, about the fact that the NBA sanctions this. And that's an important thing for everybody to know. And one thing I've said throughout the process of this, I don't think there should be any punishment or sort of any attempt at that in this situation. I think if I ran a team, I would use this as the ultimate opportunity to look at it and say, is it worth sanctioning these events in the future? And my answer personally would be, if I'm going to sanction it, then whatever risk you take is at your own peril. Like, you want to play and you get hurt, then you're going to have to get back your money for this year. Now, understanding that that is a difficult thing to put in an individual contract and will probably lead to a lot of collective bargaining conversation. Yeah. But for me, in my mind, the most important thing for Oklahoma City isn't just that Chet Holmgren be better. It's that they get him on the court.
We pulling guys out of the Olympics too?
Oh, yeah. I'm all in on pulling guys out of the Olympics. That doesn't bother me.
No gold medals?
I mean, look, unless you can tell me why it's financially a win for the entire NBA, too, because of the global marketing aspect. But if we're just talking about gold medals, like, I don't care about your personal accomplishments. If I own the Oklahoma City Thunder, I want my own championships, not your personal gold medals.
Who hurts you that you don't care about gold medals?
Oh, that's definitely my mom. She'll be on Canny and Carlin next. Thanks for hanging out with Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.